We have now left Taiwan and went back to Korea and we came back to the Philippines. We don't have as many slides of the Philippines, complete set, because we took a lot of pictures in the Philippines. This is a picture taken in, it's not Manila. It's in a smaller city closer to the airbase. I guess we flew into Clark Air Base, which is about an hour and a half from Manila. Outside of Manila, like half an hour outside of, just a few minutes outside of the airbase, there was a town, and then there was another one about half an hour away. I'm not sure which town this is, but this is a pretty typical street scene close to the downtown area of a smaller town. You notice that the basic transportation is little Honda 90cc, for example, motorcycles, probably manufactured in Manila with parts made in Japan. Then they add to it a completely manufactured in the Philippines sidecar, and that can seat usually two people, and they have a place to throw a couple of bags. And so we rode in those a lot, and they're pretty cheap. In Manila, the transportation is just as colorful and just as bright, but they tend to have jeepney services, and I'll see if we have any slides of that later on. Well, anyway, because we took so many pictures, I'm going to have to do a lot of explaining with no slides. Just after World War II, the U.S. government had something like 2 million jeeps, maybe a million, in the Pacific area, and to ship them all home because it would be bad for our economy. You know, we wouldn't be manufacturing new cars for our folks. What they did is they sold off most of them in the Pacific Theater. And, of course, the Philippines was an American colony then, I think. And so that's where they sold most of their jeeps. And so the Philippines got like 500,000, a million jeeps introduced into an economy which had previously been non-automotive, and so the Jeep just revolutionized them. And in a way, a Jeep was ideal for their society at that time, because their roads weren't that good, but the Jeeps were tough and could take it. And also, they were comparatively simple to maintain, and so you didn't need a lot of fancy tools to do it. I guess that was true of most cars then. And of course, since they had a million of them, everybody learned about how to make parts and repair this one particular style of automobile. And the Jeeps became very popular as a form of transportation, and they organized sort of bus services around the Jeeps. You know, if you bought a Jeep, you could use it as a cab, but not that many people could afford to pay you a decent wage to ride along. So what you do is you drive on a route called a jeepney route, and you pick up people. For example, a typical scene might be there'd be a jeepney which seats 10, and he'd have 7, so he'd hold up 3 fingers, you know, and you'd read his signs, you know, and he'd have written in fancy lettering all over his jeepney what route he drives, and you'd see, oh, that's the route I want, and so there were 2 of you, so you'd hold up 2 fingers, so he'd pull over and stop, and you'd crawl in. And usually the fare was really cheap for a jeepney, like 3 cents per person if you were going halfway across the city. If you were going further, it might be 5 cents a person. And he would just drive along his route when you wanted to get out. Even if it was in the middle of the block, you just, you know, let him know and he'd stop and you'd get out. And that'd be all there is to it. Because they started out with a standard size Jeep, but I think they had quickly learned how to modify them, and they would extend them so that instead of having the short back, which could seat 2 people comfortably, they would extend it an extra yard or so that you could have 3 people facing in toward the center of the Jeep on each side, and then you have, I guess it was 4 people facing in, and then 2 beside the driver in the front bench seat. And that's how the seating arrangement was in a jeepney. And they had seats only, and that was a nice thing that the jeepneys had done to the Philippine society. In most of the places we'd been, they had developed their economy based on buses, and the buses would have one row of seats, or one seat by each window, and the rest of it would be just open space. So they didn't even try to seat people in the buses, they just packed them in standing, because people took up less room. in the Philippines with the jeepneys, you couldn't really stand up because there wasn't enough headroom. So the jeepneys would only take as many people as they had seats. That was nice because we didn't like standing up that much. And that takes us to another thing. In Manila was a city which sort of left a bad taste in my mouth. There was one section which was the tourist section, which had a standard looking Hilton hotel, a beach out front, a wide boulevard. It just could have been a snapshot of Miami Beach or someplace like that. It was just very typical with nice restaurants and all that. However, if you go like 3 blocks away from the beach, you come to what would be, by American standards, a very poor and run-down slum with metal shacks and all sorts of things. The jeepneys routes would be in that area. If you were in the area where you had the nice Hilton Hotel, they'd have little cabs, similar to maybe a Toyota Corolla or something, and they'd have buses running. The buses were pretty expensive. But if you went back, you'd have the real life, which is the Philippines. And like 3/4 of the Manila was this continuous, just sort of very packed in, run down sort of area. And then 1/4 was a very fancy place for tourists. And I didn't like that very much, but that's the way it was. Some more comments about the Philippines. If you look at the street, here's your sort of feel for what the Philippines was like. It's a sort of bright colored, because they wore a lot of bright colors. Also, one of the things which was really had a strong influence on their culture was that they were in a very warm climate, and so people wore much lighter clothing in Korea. There was very much less modesty just because of the reasonableness of it. Also, you saw a lot more, like we rode the trains in the Philippines, and while on the train, we saw along the trains a lot of houses. And they were nothing more than grass huts. And, you know, from our Korean background, that seemed very flimsy. But then in Korea, you get a really cold winter, and some hard storms. And you need a substantial house. Whereas in the Philippines, it's always warm, and the only thing that bothers you even a little is the rain, and it's not very serious. So the only reason you need a shack at all is to keep the rain off. And I think that's part of the reason why their cities look so run down, is because their buildings weren't intended to keep you warm or anything other than to keep the rain off, and they could do that very simply. Anyway, on the train ride, there were a couple of interesting things. The Philippines had some really old trains, because I think it had been an American colony for a while, or for whatever reason. They had some trains which, I guess their main train line, which is the one we rode from out of Manila to Clark Air Base, had been built, say, about 1910. And the train station had an overall Western appearance, but it was terrifically run down. Like, they had toilets which were running water, but they had been very poorly kept up. It's sort of like they have a standard Western toilet in their train station, but because the Philippines are used to the trench type, you know, the people in the Philippines are used to trench type toilets, what they do is they take the toilet seats off of the top of the Western style flush toilet and stand on the rim of the toilet, and that's how they use it. And the end result is that you go in there and it's all muddy up around the rims, and there's no place to sit, so effectively you're forced to stand on the rim too. And anyway, so when we were riding on the train, we noticed that it was also a very old train car, perhaps from 1910 vintage, and it had good springs on it, but no shock absorber. So it would get into a bump, and it'd start bouncing. And we got on the train pretty late, and so we got what we found out later were the worst seats. We were at the end of a car, and the car would hit a series of bumps in the train track, and it would start bouncing. It'd get bouncing higher and higher and higher until Barbara and I were literally bouncing off our seats 2 or 3 inches each time. It'd send us up, and then it'd come down, up and down. Just dreadful. We felt like we were riding cowboys. As a matter of fact, we played a game for a little while and pretend we were riding horses. Anyway, while we were riding our horses, we would also try to look at the scenery when we could. And there were periods where the track was fairly smooth and we could actually look. And we saw out in the farmlands this just continual flat plain, which got a lot of rain and was like one big rice bowl. You know, they grew a lot of rice there. And out in these fields, which were, you know, flooded with water, you'd see a lot of water buffaloes either working or just sitting there. And there would be old water buffaloes, middle-aged water buffaloes, and young water buffaloes. And the young water buffaloes particularly appealed to us because they had this particular facial expression. They'd be looking upward with a sort of stubborn, demanding look on their faces, proud, Barbara mad. And we used to model this. And this is at the end of our train ride, when we got to the end of the city. This next slide is of Barbara emulating that water buffalo sort of facial expression. We also got a carved ebony wood carving in the Philippines, because they do an awful lot of wood carving there. And of a water buffalo, a young water buffalo with that same expression. Then when we got to Baguio, which was in the hill country, well above the rice fields, it was a really beautiful area. It was a resort area for the Air Force soldiers, well, in general for any American soldiers, designed particularly for the Air Force folks who were stationed around the Philippines. And we went on a nature walk, and one of the things we saw was the water buffalo just out grazing along the path. At first, we looked at his rope and thought, oh, he's tied back behind and he couldn't reach it. So we went up around the edge around him, and I took a quick picture on the way. After we gotten past, we noticed that the rope was, in fact, quite long and went completely across the path. And if he had chosen to charge us, he could have done terrible things to us, except he probably would have run like lightning. Also on this nature walk, we saw some very beautiful flowers, and this is a flower that Barbara noticed. We took a picture of.
When we go on a nature walk, I look at the small details, and Brian tends to look at the larger picture. So I saw the flowers, and I also saw many beautiful ferns. And this is just a picture of, sort of the life cycle of the fern. There are some dead ferns there, and then there are two or three fiddleheads, which are the buds of developing ferns.
The next slide is a little bit further on the nature trail. This is a sort of like a pet part of the zoo, because you have all these animals along the path. This is a horse who seems quite hungry, so we were glad to see him grazing. We again bypassed him and went further on around the path. And we have another red flower that Barbara thought was particularly beautiful. And now we have some of my massive scenes. There's a scene of what you would typically see from the path. You'd have to look down through the pines, see off in the distance this miscolored mountain. And the mountains were covered with this gorgeous, deep green, beautiful vegetation. And this is what the valleys would look like from the distance. Here's another view of the valley. It's a very majestic sort of scenery around Baguio. Now, this picture, along with having majestic scenery, has down in the lower middle of it a spider web. Now, we went on the walk about 9 in the morning, so there's dew all along the spider web to help light it up. There was also dew on the end of the pine needles, which looks sort of like crystals.